Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live worship services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at goochlanechurch.com, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
I don't know a lot of detail about the young lady's family that I'm going to share with you, but my impression is they were fairly poor, maybe from the other side of the tracks. And unfortunately, like many young women in that kind of situation, she found herself not only in poverty, but also unmarried and expecting a baby. The one good thing she had going for was that she was dating a guy who was a pretty stand-up guy. And though this child was not his, he did not abandon her. That's not an unusual situation, I don't suppose. What's really kind of troubling about it, though, is that the young lady refused to repent. She seemed religious, seemed like she was interested in spiritual things, but she refused to admit that she had done anything wrong, and as far as I know, never did. Don't let it get outside of this room, but the young lady's name was Mary, and her husband's name was Joseph. Actually, let it get out of this room. You see what a few details with the right voice inflection can do? Leaving out certain things, maybe alluding to certain things you don't know, you can take something and you can make it appear however you want it to be. And of course, what we realize in that is the great danger that we can inflict on someone else. This year so far, we have been talking about putting the kingdom of God first. And so we've hit that pretty hard about recognizing who the king is, recognizing that if it's the king's mission, it's our mission, recognizing if the king says to do it this way, we do it that way. Those things are essential and foundational. But we also have to realize that in putting the kingdom first, that's also going to entail a whole lot of the relationships that we have not only with our brethren, but people of the world also, that as the king's representative, as a part of his kingdom, that the way we treat one another is of extreme importance. I suppose throughout the course of the past 2,000 years, there have been a lot of people who've had problems over matters of doctrine and had discussed that. I expect, though, that the number of problems over the past 2,000 years have really not been so much doctrinal as they have been personalities, trying to figure out how to get along, trying to figure out how to forgive, trying to figure out how we need to treat one another. And so what I hope to do, Lord willing, throughout this year is just ever so often, kind of a loose series, I suppose, is to talk about some of these things that I'm going to classify as kingdom detractors. That though we recognize God as king, though we recognize we're a part of his kingdom, that there are certain things that are of great temptation to us to really not view as importantly as perhaps we need to. And one of those, for certain, is that of gossip. So let's talk about that this morning. When we think about gossip, I want to start with a question. This is how I worded it. Why is gossip not in the serious sin column? Now, if I was talking about murder, if I was talking about adultery, if I was talking about fornication, if I was talking about drunkenness or drug abuse, we would note that as very serious things, very serious sins. But oftentimes, when we think about gossip, it's more of a joke. That when we talk about it, we may readily admit, oh, I'm such a gossip. I have such trouble keeping stuff to myself, and kind of laugh it off as though it's no big deal. And so let's answer that question, but let's begin with the negative. It's not because of these things. Why isn't gossip in that serious sin column? It's not because of the lack of warning that we have about it. Let me just quickly take you through a few Old Testament examples of that. In the Old Testament, the word gossip typically is going to appear as the word slander. Same meaning, same idea. And so Proverbs 11:13 says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." Just a few chapters later, that same introduction is used once again, chapter 20, verse 19. "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets." This time, though, a command. "Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." Someone who's revealing secrets, somebody who's slandering, first of all, realize that if you're keeping something covered, you're a trustworthy person. But if you're letting these things go, people don't need to be around you, and you don't need to be around people who do that. Backing up, interestingly, in the book of Leviticus, hidden there amongst all of these details of sacrifices and priesthood and such, chapter 19, verse 16 says, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." God says, just don't do it because I, the king, told you not to do it. If we had time, it's another really interesting passage in Jeremiah, the context of it in particular. Let me just single out one verse, though, in chapter 6, verse 28. As God's talking about his people, he says, "They are stubbornly rebellious, going about with slanders. They are bronze and iron. All of them act corruptly." And just a little bit later on in chapter 9, verse 4, he says, "Let everyone beware of his neighbor, and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer." Now, that's just a sampling. Yet God is saying, the reason that you're not taking this seriously is not because I haven't warned you of that. And we could add to it, it's not because of the company it keeps. Let's go to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, we've noted before, one of his styles of writing is that when he's making a point, he'll just give a list of things. It's called a vice list. And so as he's writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, he says, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." Backing up a bit, he did the same thing in the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning in 29. "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless." One other we might note, and he writes to Timothy, final letter that we have recorded that he wrote, talking about in the last days, he says, "People will be heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." Is it because of the company it keeps that we don't take it seriously? Look at where Paul houses gossip: with murder, with hating God, with treating other people terribly. We could add one other to that list. It's not because of its terrible impact. Proverbs, once again, warns us about that. It says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends." Has that ever happened to you? You ever separated friends by what you've said? To let something be stated that's obviously going to cause friction and problems? So if it's not any of these things, what is it? Why is gossip not in that serious sin column? Well, this is the reason. It's because it's enjoyable. We just got to call it like we see it here. That's what Proverbs does. In fact, Proverbs is going to say it's like a good meal. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. I want you to think about the last meal you had that just really stands out. Wasn't leftovers, unless you just really like leftovers. It wasn't something that was done on the cheap, but it's just a really good meal. Maybe a birthday meal or anniversary or some special occasion like that. And just everything. was perfect. What's the only thing that makes that meal better? It's to share it with somebody, right? To have a table with one other person or maybe a group of people, and you just sit back and you think about that meal and you talk about how good it was. So the writer of Proverbs says, that's kind of like gossip is. It's like this delicious meal, and the only thing that makes it better is that you can share it with someone else. Well, why is that? It's because it makes us knowledgeable. We're the people who are in the know, and that can be on either side of this as the transmitters. We're looked at someone who knows what's going on, or in the receivers. We're getting this information so that maybe in turn we can spread it on. And so we've got this idea that it's making us people who are very aware of the situation. We might also add to that list that it also provides us a pretty good weapon when we want it. It's like in this inward feeling that we have, it gives us a sense of power. That if somebody's acting a little bit more haughty than we think they need to, we can bring them down a notch. After all, that person thinks he's so great. He thinks he's just perfect. But let me tell you this about him. That's one way. Or the other is, if we're retaliating against someone, someone's mistreated me, maybe someone has done something, and so I use this as a weapon to get back at that person. That's what we're looking at with all of this. And it's the idea that we're telling God, no, vengeance doesn't belong to you. I'll take care of this one. Why do we not put gossip in the serious sin column? Because it's enjoyable, with one exception to that, as long as it's not about me. When it's about me, suddenly gossip is very much in the serious column. And how dare someone talk about me without coming to talk to me first? Let's ratchet it up one notch. Can we say that gossip is also blasphemous? Well, before we answer that question, let's pause for a minute because there's something we've not done yet, and that's to define what gossip is. There's no one verse in the Bible that says, okay, everybody, this is what gossip is. What we find are warnings like we've looked at this morning, it's associations. So if we take all of that and put it together, your definition might vary a little bit from this, but I think this gives us a pretty good idea that it's passing along information about a person, regardless of whether it's true or not, maybe, might not be, when the underlying motive is to discredit, to embarrass, or to undermine. So here I am. I am within a certain amount of information, might be true, might not be true, but I'm passing that along to somebody else because I have an ulterior motive for doing it. I think that's what the Bible shows us about this concept of slander or gossip. So when we look at that and then we bring in this idea of gossip and blasphemy, how is that the case? Well, we're going to turn to Paul's writings once again. In Colossians chapter 3, he's giving us another list in verse 8. And he says, but now you must put away all of these: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Now, if you're following along with this and you have a different translation, you may note that the word slander is not there, but the word blasphemy. And that's the word. When you look at from what Paul wrote it in, it's the word blasphemy there. And so translators have kind of gone back and forth with that idea, many deciding that in the company that it's keeping here, the idea is not so much that you're sending your words in a blasphemous way against God directly, but you're blaspheming Him by blaspheming someone else. So how does that work? How is it that gossip can be blasphemy? Well, blasphemy is when you're trying to take over for God. When you're speaking against Him or you're trying to take His authority. And we think about that at first blush and we say, well, how could I possibly be trying to take on the role of God when I involve myself with gossip? Well, here's the way we do that. We're perceiving ourselves as omniscient. We're saying, I have come across a certain piece of information. And so I know everything I need to know about this in order to pass it on to someone else. And what we've not done is verified. We've not gotten background. We've not gotten details. Yet we've got this sense of omniscience that I can now take this and I can give it to someone else. That's one way that we can put ourselves in the place of God. However, I think the bigger way that we do this is when we now are doing the recreating. We talk about that a lot, that God recreates us in the image of His Son. But what we're doing is we're taking someone who is totally at the mercy of our words, and we are attempting to take our words and to recreate this person in the image we want others to see them in. So back to our earlier point. If it's someone who's done something to me, if it's someone I believe is a little more haughty than they need to be, I'm taking that person and I'm doing in a bad way what God is willing to do with us in a good way of making us into someone different. So I think about God's warning about all of this. And I understand that it's blasphemous because of my supposed omniscience, because I'm seeking to recreate. But it's also harmful in the sense that I'm trying to hurt someone who's made in God's image. It's very akin to the warning that Jesus gave back in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. And so we can come to that and we can make it really easy and say, don't ever call a brother a fool, no matter what kind of idiot he is. And what we've done is we've totally violated what Jesus just said not to do. What he's saying is, don't ever treat someone like they're some kind of inferior to you. And so when I take something and I pass it along to someone else, it's very much like that idea of calling someone a fool. It's not so much the wording involved as it is what's the motive behind it. And so by my words then, what I'm doing is I'm harming someone. Now, with all of that said, I also need to understand, fitting it into the sphere of our theme for the year, that it's forfeiting my mission as a citizen of the kingdom of God. That if I am putting the kingdom first, yet I'm involving myself in gossip, then what I'm doing is I'm saying I'm not going to carry the king's mission, because the king's mission is for me to be a royal priest. And that's to bring others into the kingdom, that by my words and my character and who I am and my glorification of God, everything about me is to bring people to see God and to want to be a part of His kingdom. And yet, if what I'm doing is tearing others down or spreading things about others, regardless of their veracity, I'm doing exactly the opposite. I'm working to drive people away from that. And so as I look at all of these things, I understand that what God is saying to me is that this is a temptation, this is a serious sin, this is something not allowed within His kingdom, and that I've got to make sure that I am working to fight this temptation with everything I got. So how then do I deal with this pervasive temptation? How is it that I can bring this under control? Well, here's one thing, is to realize it's a sin. It's a serious, is there an unserious sin? There is not. It is a serious situation though. As I consider that, I think about the words of Jesus over in Matthew 12. And let me just say, I understand Matthew 12 is not in the context of talking about gossip. It's talking about those who are saying bad things about the Lord. But yet the Lord gives a principle that applies in many situations. He says in chapter 12, verses 33 and 34, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he's going to go on a little bit further, and he's going to say, and every word you speak is going to be brought into judgment. I realize the context there. But yet, to look at the principle laid down, what God is saying is that when I listen to what I am speaking, it is giving me a very clear picture of what's going on in my heart. So if my words are bitter, if my words are vile, if my words are pornographic, it's showing me what's going on in my heart. If my words are gossip, same thing. And so what Jesus would say is, you got to make sure that you understand just how serious this thing is. We can also understand that I've got to determine what gossip is. And I realize sometimes that is a delicate line. There may be times we need to talk to someone else about a situation. We need advice, we need counsel, we need some wise words. I understand that. So how do we know what that line is? Well, first of all, here's one very biblical one. Do you lower your voice when you say it? That's where the word whisperer comes from. When God says, don't go around as a whisperer, it's your talking, and then suddenly you lower your voice. Right? Gives you a note of seriousness. This is a private thing between you and me. I'm going to share something with you that I'm in the know about. That's one way. Perhaps as well, the better way is to say, would I say this if the person was in this conversation? So if someone that I was talking about came up and said, I'm so glad you're here, let me talk to you and this other person about this. With gossip, we know that we would not say yes to that question, because the whole point of it is we're going to leave someone out. We're going to speak on our own authority about it. Maybe a related question, am I okay with the person finding out that I said it? What often accompanies gossip? Now, don't tell them I said this. But these things help us find that distinguishing line. These things help us to understand what we need to say and what we need to leave off. But the question that we've really been driving at throughout most of the lesson this morning is this: is it for the person's betterment or mine? Is it to make this person better, to bring them closer to the kingdom, or is it for my own enjoyment that I'm doing it? That's ultimately where all of this is going to lead. So, I've got to understand it's gossip. I've got to figure out what's gossip, what's not. Leave the gossip alone. And I've got to understand that it is an addictive sin. It is easy to begin to get the dopamine rush from being the person in the know. And with any addiction, what is step number one? Whether gambling, drinking, drugs, pornography, what is step number one? My name is Greg Chandler, and I am a gossip. Admit the problem. Don't try to make excuses. Don't try to say, well, I was just taken in the wrong way. If I'm involved with this, admit the problem. And once we admit it, we stop it. How do we do that? Well, look at the motivation for it. Whatever that motivation is, that's what we've got to deal with. Let's go back to Colossians 3 for just a minute. Put them all away: anger, wrath, malice. It's almost like he's building up. Slander. So if I find that I'm an angry person, if I find I'm a wrathful person, if I find I'm a malicious person, that's what I've got to get to. That's where the tree is bad. And if the tree is bad there, the fruit's going to be bad that comes from it. So I get rid of all of those things. I get rid of the pride that I take in being that person who has omniscient knowledge. And then what I do is just say, I'm not going to speak it, and I'm not going to receive it. Listen to Proverbs once again. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Oh, I have seen that so many times when I was teaching school. You can have one person who keeps so much stirred up in a class, there's never peace. That person leaves the class, it's like a different group of kids. But it's not just kids, is it? We know that happens in the adult world, that there can be one person who just keeps that going. And what I have to understand is, if I am that person, I have got to stop. I have got to put the fire out so that that quarreling also ceases. And then I take the positive step of replacing it with what's helpful. I use my words in a good way. I speak directly to someone in need. That's hard. If there's someone who I really believe is doing something wrong, the concept of getting involved is something just almost anathema to our culture. It's like, just don't say anything about it. Just ignore it. But yet, if this is something that I believe is troubling enough that I need to talk about it, I need to change the direction I'm doing my talking. I need to go to that one and speak of these things. And I need to defend the person's reputation who's being gossiped about, which is also very hard, isn't it? It's easy to be the passive receiver, to not like it and just say, but I'm not going to create a scene. But what if each of us turned that around and said, tell you what, let's go talk to that person. You and me, I'll go with you. I think they need to hear this from you. That's what we've got to do. It may be very associated with that. We encourage gossipers onto godliness, especially as we deal with our Christian brothers and sisters. Maybe it's time just to stop and say, are we putting the kingdom first in this conversation? Is this something that's helping promote the mission of the king? And normally, when we do all of that, it's going to put that fire out pretty quickly. So we stop it, we replace it. Let me add one final thing in this. Let's set a goal. Let's make our goal realistic. Here's a goal that's unrealistic. I'm going to stop all the gossip in the world. You go away and said, I'm fired up. I'm going to stop all of this. That is not going to happen. Neither will this one. I'm going to stop all gossip amongst Christians. That would be nice. It's not going to happen. What about this one? I'm going to stop any gossip in this church. I have to put a question mark by that one. That's a doable goal, but it's all going to depend on our next one. I'm going to keep gossip off my lips and out of my ears. I can accomplish that one. I can end conversations. I can not read things that are posted for everybody to read. I can work on that one. And so, if all of us committed ourselves to that, we could accomplish that. Here's one of those disclaimer moments. You're thinking, what does he know that I don't know? I don't know. There's nothing pressing here that I'm dealing with. It's some big raging issue in the background. That's not it at all. What I'm dealing with here is the idea that this is so pervasive that certainly all of us struggle with it. And so if we would commit ourselves to the kingdom, and all of us in this assembly committed ourselves to the kingdom, we can accomplish the goal of saying we're just not going to let that kind of thing happen. So how do I carry that out personally then? I allow God to remake me. That's what this is all about. As we think about putting the kingdom first, we're allowing God to turn us in to what we've always needed to be. And in doing so, I'm going to allow him to set a guard over my lips. Think about what Paul wrote to the Ephesians when he said in chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That the words I'm speaking are not tearing down, just the opposite. They are actually helping to glorify God, to bring this grace to someone in need. And let's realize it's not any of our jobs to confess someone else's sins. That's not our job. And so if I can take all this very seriously, and I can lean heavily on the Lord for His help in this, and I can pray to keep my words under control, and I can think the best about a situation, and when there are problems, I go to a person, it is then that I can keep gossip far away. And I can carry out those words that we find in beautiful Psalm 19, where he prays, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, that the words I speak are pleasing to God." What a challenging thought it is, and how easily we know we can fall into this. But perhaps this morning it's an occasion for all of us to recommit ourselves. So we think about putting the kingdom first, that we are going to speak only that which is going to help promote the values of the King. Thank you so much for your good attention this morning. Back to that earlier story. Aren't we glad that young woman took God at His word? I suspect all through Mary's life there were whispers behind her back, don't you? We get that idea from things that were said to Jesus. But yet she never lost her resolve to say that I am going to be faithful to what God has called on me to do. But as good a woman as Mary was, she is not the star of that story, is she? It was the fact that Jesus became flesh, born of a woman, lived as we live, yet without sin. You think there are ever occasions Jesus wanted to get something off his chest? I imagine a lot of times. Never sinned. Never went down that path. And the one who never sinned is the one who says to you, "Come to me with all of your sin, and it can be washed away." New Testament makes that very clear, that that occurs in the waters of baptism. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism, which saves us. It's not just simply the act, though. It's God saying that it's in these waters I'm going to see your trust in me. And that Savior will take your sins away, and you'll be new once again. It's hard living in a place where there's lots of sin. We know that. And God has also said, if you fall, I am a loving, forgiving God. Come to me and let's talk about it. Maybe this morning you're ready to be baptized, or maybe this morning you're ready to talk to God about it, but you'd like for us to go with you to the throne room. We'll do that. Or maybe it's just a temptation that is pressing you so hard at the moment, you see no way you're going to get through it, but you know the prayers of righteous people avail much. We can pray with you about that this morning. Whatever it takes, let's put the kingdom first and be those royal priests that God desires us to be. If you need to respond to His invitation, you can come now as we stand and sing together.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at goochlanechurch.com to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is goochlanechurch.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.